Great day in the Scripture that I would like to share with you about today. If you would find Matthew chapter 21, going to be working through verses 1 through 11 this morning. And this was a great day in the life of Jesus Christ. In fact, this was one of the few days in His life where He was actually treated the way He deserved to be treated. And I hope that today would be a day like that, that today we would treat Jesus Christ the way that He deserves to be treated. Before I go any further, just a little quick side note here. I didn't see it, and I don't know who it was, but there was somebody sitting in the first row of the bleachers this morning in the early service, and I guess they must have had a bad thought because the chair ejected them. Anybody else have any problems back there yet? Well, I've got a button right here. If I see something, I'll... Seriously, somebody got ejected from their chair. We weren't planning on that to happen. Unless they needed to come forward and be saved, then we would want them to be ejected. But back to our passage. The Lord is completing a trip from the northern part of Israel. He's come through the Jordan Valley, through Jericho, up to Jerusalem. And it's Sunday, the last week of His life before the cross. First day of the week, and He has come to the Mount of Olives. He's just come from a very incredible time when this lady had anointed Him with some very expensive perfume, and so He has that odor around Him reminding Him of that worship. Just a little bit earlier, He'd come from the tomb of Lazarus, who He had raised from the dead, and now He is coming into the city of Jerusalem. This was His destiny. And so as He is standing there on the Mount of Olives, He gets a look at the panoramic view of Jerusalem, which is behind me here. You'll notice over to the right is the Dome of the Rock. It is a Muslim holy place today. Just to the right of that would have been where the temple would be standing. You see the walls there that have been built over the old walls. And so I will tell you, it is one of the most impressive views that you'll ever see anywhere at any time. And so I'm sure that the Lord had incredible emotions as He topped the Mount of Olives and He had that panoramic view of the city. And now He is descending from the Mount of Olives, which is a pretty steep walk, down through the Kidron Valley, which is a very low valley, then up again into the city walls of Jerusalem. And so this text describes what is happening. There's some palm branches that are laid in front of Him, which is why we call this Palm Sunday. Across Christianity, this last week that leads up to Easter is called Passion Week. And so this is the first day of Passion Week, Palm Sunday, a day when Jesus Christ was treated the way He should have been treated every day. Some people believe there were as many as 2 million Jews in Jerusalem for this Passover week. Now, there could have been a few less than that. Normally, the city had about 30,000, but here are up to as many as 2 million people there. And so a huge number of people were about to experience this great day for Jesus Christ. So I'd like to break down this great day and kind of apply that to us today. First thing I would tell you about this great day is that it was a planned day. It wasn't a surprise about it. It was planned. Verses 1 through 3 says this. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and He will send them at once. So when you're looking at this planned day as it was planned by our Lord, no detail is too small. The Lord knew the man who lived in this certain house. He knew how the man got the house. He knew when the man got the house. He knew who the man had living in the house. He knew the donkey that the man had who lived in the house. He knew when he got the donkey. He knew how old the donkeys were. He knew that the man who owned the donkeys would be willing to give the donkeys. And so he knew that he would be there at that moment, at that time. And so it was all planned and laid out. No detail was too small. You know that's the same way God deals with us in our life. He has an incredible plan for us, and no detail is too small. Today, I want you to know that He knows where you live. He knows how you got there. He knows what you do. He knows what you don't do. He knows who you're married to, who you're not married to. He knows the kids that you have. He knows the kind of donkeys you got. He knows how you got the donkeys. He knows everything about you. And I will tell you this. His plan included you being here today. Isn't that pretty incredible? So you're not here by accident. You didn't just wake up today and say, you know what, I think I'm going to surprise God and show up in church. We planned this worship today. Do you believe that? Can you believe that these music people actually planned something? If you're a music person, you know how amazing that is. They planned it. They planned the sound people have planned it. I actually prayed over and worked up this sermon. I planned it. But I tell you, God has planned you being here today. And I pray that you would embrace that. And I pray that you would allow God to do what He wants to do in your life today that He wants to. Because there's no detail that is too small. So no sacrifice is too great in this plan. Think about the guy for a minute. This guy that owned the donkey. And obviously he knew Jesus. And Jesus said, "Sir, I want your donkey." And the man said, "Jesus, you could have the donkey." And you know why he gave him the donkey? Because he had already given him his heart. And so it was very easy to give Jesus the donkey because he'd already given him his heart. Now think about how good it must have been for him to be in the crowd. And here comes Jesus coming down the Mount of Olives riding on his donkey. "Hey buddy," he said, "donkey, I gave that donkey. That donkey used to be mine before I gave it to Jesus. Didn't that donkey look good? How about the donkey he's riding on? Man, why are all these people yelling at me and praising me? I must be an awesome donkey." All right. Well, in some ways, this building is our donkey. I mean, it's a great building, right? But it's not the building. It's the Jesus who's riding the building. And so that's the way it was. So Jesus may be saying to this guy, and he may be saying to us today, "I want what you got in your hand." And we say, "Sure," because not only does he have what's in our hand, he owns our hand. And so God's not after what you have today. You know that. He's after you. And so no sacrifice is too great. No detail too small, no sacrifice too great when we talk about this great day for the Lord. But not only was it a planned day, it was a prophetic day. Now I'm going to get a little bit theological for the next few minutes, okay? So we'll do Christianity light on another day. Alright? We'll give you 5 ways to tend your garden and be happy on another day. We'll give you a little bit of theological stuff. In verses 4 and 5 it says, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" So he's quoting a passage there, a word from the past. He's quoting from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Let me read that. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. He shall rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." So it was a prophetic day. It had been prophesied, predicted in the Old Testament. And in Psalm 118, 25 and 26 says, "Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." And so the word is Hosanna. We're going to read that in a minute. You know, everybody know what the word Hosanna means? Anybody know what the word Hosanna means? Save now. Save us now. And so the book of Psalms predicted this great day. So there were prophecies saying this day is coming. And then here's an absolutely astounding word of prediction. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 through 27. Read this, and you'll be all confused, and then I'm going to explain a little bit to you. It says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with the flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. So it's taking a look at the future. It's taking a look at the present. Now, he talks about three periods of sevens that I just read in Daniel. Okay, you got that? Everybody see it? Three periods of seven. There was one seven sevens, 49 years. Those 49 years began with a decree to rebuild Jerusalem. Some say that starts with Ezra. Some say it's the one given to Nehemiah. They were both near the same period of time. And so 49 years from that point of time led to the 62 sevens, which was the time the temple was completed. And then 434 years later, which was the 62 sevens, led to this very day that's in the Scripture, which is the day that the Messiah is coming into Jerusalem. So there was a word about the present, but then there was a word for the future. There's one seven left. And that seven begins at that moment, the time of the Gentiles. That's the time we're in now. You know, all the Old Testament was designed for Jews. Jesus was a Jew, and Jesus Christ flung the door open to Gentiles. Aren't you glad that He did that? He opened the door for us. And so we're now living in the times of the Gentiles. The final week's going to click in the future. There's going to be a great movement of God among the Jewish people. The Bible says if their rejection has resulted in worldwide redemption, what would their acceptance be but the resurrection from the dead? And so that will then begin this culmination with the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming back. When He comes back the second time, He's not going to be riding a donkey. He's going to be looking a little bit differently. In fact, the book of Revelation describes this for us. Revelation 19:11 through 16 says this, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses." If you don't know how to ride a horse, you might need to learn. "From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now, if the predictions that he made about the day on Palm Sunday in Jerusalem were so exact and true, it follows that the predictions that are made about him coming back are true as well. No man knows the day, no man knows the hour, only God the Father does. But the point we need to make is, as certainly as there was a planned day when he came the first time, there is a planned and prophetic day when he's coming the second time. And you and I need to be ready for when that day comes. So it's a prophetic day. I would tell you that it was also a passionate day. Verses 8 and 9, it said, Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So a great day of celebration. That's where we get the term Palm Sunday. They're tearing off palm branches. They're laying them out in front of the donkey on which Jesus is riding. And so now the King the Creator is now approaching the great city of the great King, the city of Jerusalem. The King is coming home. The Son of God is coming to the very place where Abraham earlier had taken Isaac to be sacrificed, the very place where the temple had been built, where the Holy of Holies was, the glory of God lived, and now He's coming to claim His great city. It was a great day of celebration. There was also a people there to celebrate. I want you to think with me for a minute about who was probably in the crowd. I think probably there was a man there who the Bible says had a withered hand that he couldn't do anything with. And Jesus Christ had healed it. I have to believe he's in the crowd, and he, with that hand once withered, now touched by Jesus, is laying out one of those palm branches saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I have to think that there were probably a group of men who had one time had leprosy, that dreaded skin disease of which there was no cure, and they were isolated from society. Anytime they came near someone, they were by law required to yell out, "Unclean, unclean." Now they're clean. Now they've been cleansed by Jesus. I got a hunch they were laying down those palm branches and saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I got a feeling Zacchaeus was in that group. That wee little man in Jericho climbed up in the sycamore tree because the Lord he wanted to see. He was a con man. He was a cheat. He was a thief. But he's been changed. He's now a generous man, and he's there in the crowd praising Jesus for what he'd done in his life. I got to believe that there was a man who was totally blind. Maybe even Bartimaeus there at Jericho. And now he can see perfectly. He's throwing down a palm branch saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I got a feeling that Lazarus was there. Lazarus was the guy that had died and been in the tomb for 3 days. And when Jesus got there and said, "Roll away the stone," one of his sisters said, "Lord, just don't do that." And in the King James Version of your Bible, it says, "Because by this time he stinketh." I suspect so, don't you? And he had said, "Lazarus, come forth," and he's come back to life. Now he's in the crowd too. These people had a reason to praise Jesus Christ as he's entering into this great city. But what I would ask you is, should our gatherings be any different than that? Is there somebody in here that Jesus Christ has touched your life? Maybe he's touched you physically. Maybe he's healed you. You of all people should be, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Anybody in here who God has healed a relationship in your life? Anybody here that God has put together a family that was on the brink of destruction? Anybody here like that? Anybody here who was a prodigal that you've come home? Anybody who had a prodigal in your family who came home? I'm just telling you, if Jesus Christ has touched you, we ought to be in the crowd every Sunday, every worship day, being in the crowd crying, "Hosanna, save now, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Why should this day be any different than that day? And so it was a great day of celebration as they celebrated the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, I want to tell you, we got to regain our passion. We got to regain the passion that we have for Jesus Christ. Because I would tell you, passionless Christianity is not going to win anybody to faith in Christ. But when we become passionate about who Jesus Christ is and what He's done in our lives, I'm telling you, that is a compelling, contagious thing that will draw people to our Lord Jesus Christ. So this great day was a passionate day, as should our day be. Fourth thing I'd tell you about the day is that it was a puzzling day. Some people didn't have any idea what was happening. Verse 10, it says, "And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, 'Who is this? Who is this?'" Now, if you had been in Jerusalem, up there around the temple, you can see very clearly to the Mount of Olives on the other side. And you would very clearly see this procession coming. You would very clearly hear the shouts echoing across the valley. And so those in the city were saying, "What is going on here? Who is this?" Who does he think he is disturbing our Passover festivals? Who is this? Now, there were some skeptics in the crowd. There were some who said, you know what? You people need to be quiet. You people need to stop. Jesus said, you know what, man? If these people get quiet, the stones are going to cry out. So they were skeptics. You know, there are a lot of skeptics in our world today. If you want to get a touch of skeptics, post something on your social media. Just something, say, the sky is blue. Science will not tell you that the sky is blue. Are you ignorant? That will be a response. I was outside yesterday. The sky was not blue. It was an aqua. Just post something out there. The skeptics are everywhere. They're skeptics about what we're doing in our church. You know what? Let them continue to be skeptical. I look at this crowd and hear this praise and I say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Always skeptics. So skeptics don't understand. But I will tell you that there are also some seekers in the crowd. They were saying, who is this? I kind of would like to know what's going on here. And so there are seekers all around us. Some work was being done in the building. And there was a couple of guys standing out there. And my wife was walking by and they said, man, this is an awesome deal. We've never seen a swimming pool in a church before. And she said, well, this isn't a swimming pool. This is the baptistry. And they said, what's that? Okay, think about that for a minute. These are just guys. They don't know what a baptistry is. They don't know what baptism is. And it's not their fault they don't know, because nobody's ever told them. There are seekers out there who would love to hear about how they can be saved. They would love to hear that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross paying their sin debt and has given them an invitation to know Him. There are a lot of people seeking that. Now, it's great for us to preach that in these walls, and we need to. And it's great for us to invite people to come worship with us in these walls so they can hear that kind of stuff, and we need to do that. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people who are not going to be able to come inside the walls. We're going to have to learn to open our mouths when we're outside the walls. Because there's a lot of people saying, who is this? They drive by our buildings, they say, man, what's going on in there? Wonder what the deal is with that. Let's be about folks giving answers to the seekers that Jesus Christ saves. The fifth thing I'd tell you about it, it was a preaching day. And the crowds answered when they said, who is this? They said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. So the ones who answered were the ones who knew him. So I could imagine that guy that had been blind and given his sight said, I'll tell you who it is. This is the guy that gave me sight. I was blind. Oh, Zacchaeus said, man, this is the guy that turned me from a con man to an honest man. A woman at the well, she might have been with him. She might have said, man, this is the one that forgave me for going through 5 divorces, living with a guy after that, and I mean, he's given me new life. That's who he is. The man with the withered hand said, check out the hand. That's who he is. That's who he is. So if you know Jesus Christ, you need to be in the group of the crowd that answers. We've got to answer for any skeptic, any seeker. We know the truth. We know Jesus Christ. And His plan for us is to take that message as far and as wide as we can possibly take it. All right, let's get back where we started as we finish. This day in the Scriptures, Palm Sunday. It is a day in the Bible where Jesus Christ finally got treated the way He should have been treated all the time. In just a moment, we're going to have our final song of worship for the morning. I would love for this to be the moment that we treat Jesus Christ the way He should be treated. Would you join me with that? And so I would like for us to really just express to Him as we sing our praise in our hearts, to join the crowd, Hosanna, blessed is He who has come in the name of the Lord. In your own mind's eye, place your palm branch in front of Him. It may be that you would say, to be perfectly honest, preacher, I'm actually seeking to know something about eternal life. I love the buildings. I love the lights. I love the music. I love everything about this, but I'm really not certain about the bottom line, which is Jesus Christ. I would just tell you that today you can know Him. And you can know why we've done all this. So if you would like more information about how you can come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're going to have some staff right here while we're worshiping. I would just encourage you to make your way to one of these staff people and just tell them, you know what? I'm really wanting answers about Jesus Christ. We'll go to a quiet place and we'll make that happen for you. Let me say to you, if you're visiting with us today, we are so glad you're here. God bless you for being here. We would love for you to prayerfully become a member of our church today. I'll just be right up front with that. If you think that you would like to plant your life with us as we move forward for the glory of Jesus Christ, and you want to join that crowd who's praising Him, this would be a great day. First Sunday in the new building, wouldn't this be a great day for you to come and be a part of our church family? If that's what you'd like to do today, please make your way. That may be why God sent you our way today, for this to be your day. Again, our staff will be here to greet you and direct you and help make that happen. But let me say to our membership, it's time that we treat Jesus Christ the way He should be treated. With our obedience, with our devotion, with our praise, with our ministry, with our love. Time for us to take whatever He's healed in us and put before Him and say, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. And so today, this great day for our church, based on a great day in the life of Jesus Christ, will you join with me in the next few moments and treat Jesus Christ the way He should be treated in your life? And the answer you need to give Him is yes. Should I place my faith in You as my Lord and Savior? Yes. Should I plant my life with just church family? That, I hope, is yes. Should I give Him my donkey? If He asks for it. Should I give Him what's in my hands? Got something better? Give Him your hands. Let's treat Him right now the way He deserves to be treated. Let's stand and worship. Staff is right here. I invite you, make your way to them. This is the great day. This is your day. Would you come as we worship?